Entertaining programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. At least six Palestinians are dead and dozens are injured following an Israeli missile strike in Gaza City today. Helicopter gunships targeted the car of a senior Hamas leader who was killed in the attack along with his wife and two children. Following the airstrike, Hamas spokesman Mahmoud Al-Zahar is delivering a warning to Israelis.
This message should be sent for every Israeli. Your children and your women, your husbands, everybody is a target now. We have to react.
Secretary of State Colin Powell has been working the phones trying to put a lid on Mideast violence. Powell told a State Department audience that he's been talking to leaders in and around Israel, encouraging them to come down hard on Palestinian terrorists who have their own agenda.
That are determined to deny us this latest opportunity for peace, who are determined to deny the Palestinian people the opportunity to have their own homeland.
Powell said it's essential that the new roadmap for Mideast peace stay on course. Veteran newscaster David Brinkley has died at the age of 82. The North Carolina native's start on network news began with NBC's The Huntley Brinkley Report in 1956 with the late Chet Huntley. In recent years, Brinkley was regularly seen on a Sunday morning political talk show on ABC. The U.S. military lost two aircraft today in Iraq. An Air Force F-16 crashed southwest of Baghdad. An Apache helicopter was shot down. Crew members from both of the aircraft are safe. Meanwhile, coalition ground forces have been involved in what is being called the biggest operation since the end of major combat phase of the war in Iraq. Analysts say the nation's economy is still weak despite the latest figures that show the U.S. jobless rate has fallen. First-time claims for state unemployment benefits dropped 17,000 to 430,000 last week. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow is down 7 points, the Nasdaq up 6, and the S&P down slightly.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
A 9-year-old San Jose, California girl was allegedly raped in her house before she was kidnapped just after returning home from school last Friday. During an arraignment yesterday, a Santa Clara County prosecutor told reporters Enrique Alvarez repeatedly raped the little girl while she was held captive for 2 days. An intensive search is underway in Miami for a serial rapist who is believed to be targeting children and women. Authorities say DNA evidence has linked the suspect to at least 6 rapes in the Miami area. Among the victims are 3 students from a local middle school.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Wrigley Gum is getting into the sex game. The chewing gum company has been given the go-ahead to sell Viagra gum. The Chicago Sun-Times reports the William Wrigley Company has plans for a new gum that would contain the generic equivalent of the popular impotence drug. One stick would contain about as much Viagra as there is in one pill. Wrigley has been granted a patent for the gum, but won't be able to market it until 2011. A South Florida woman is telling her story of being imprisoned for a week after she was mistaken for an international fugitive. 39-year-old Nona Kaysen says she was pulled from her car by armed federal agents last month while driving through Fort Lauderdale. The agents mistook Kaysen for Nadine Trichikov, a fugitive from France who was wanted for allegedly kidnapping her husband's children. Kaysen was imprisoned for a week and her children were placed in foster care until DNA evidence could prove she was not the suspect. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Your car spark plugs are like an infantry. They work hard and fire a lot. How many times do spark plugs fire? And what can you do to keep them in shape? When we come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
When your odometer clicks 10,000 miles, your spark plugs have fired 15 million times, transmitting enough electricity to power home appliances for 15 months. This high voltage current, heat, and chemical erosion eat away the firing gap, widening it so much that plugs can't make their spark, resulting in wasted gas, lost power, and polluted air, if you can get your car started at all. So have your hard-working spark plugs replaced for most cars every 30,000 miles. Replacing marginal or misfiring plugs will save you heartburn and money. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Corporate lies could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to our program today. Speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite, Sirius Channel 145. And broadcasting live on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. Some quick best of the rest of the news to start our hour, and then we're going to get into our question for this hour. Is the American corporate empire repeating the mistakes of the British, Ottoman, Roman, and Sumerian empires? And in the next hour, we're looking at can democracy survive in a big brother in government environment, and we've got some interesting news on SARS. But just a little bit of the news. Last night, I was watching the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather, and I saw one of the most horrific pieces of reporting I think I have seen in months. It is a sad commentary on the state of affairs when you have to go to the Comedy Channel, to Jon Stewart's Daily Show, to get accurate news. But Dan Rather had one of his roving reporters, I don't remember her name, produce a report on this tax bill. The Republicans had to cut $15 billion out of the budget to get it down to $350 billion out of the tax cut, services cut, you could more appropriately call it. But in any case, they had to cut this out. And so all these, millions of families that earn between roughly $12,000 and roughly $22,000 a year are not going to get a child tax credit. A credit, by the way, it's important to notice the difference. A tax deduction means that if you owe taxes, when all is said and done, if you owe taxes, then you can reduce the amount of income that you are being taxed on by the amount of the tax deduction. So if you make $30,000 and you got a $1,000 tax deduction, it means you're only being taxed on $29,000. A tax credit, on the other hand, is an actual reduction in the amount of tax you pay or a refund to you from the government. So if you make $30,000 a year and you have a $1,000 tax credit, It doesn't mean that you're being taxed on $29,000. It means that, say you made $30,000 a year and your taxes owed were $550. If you had a $1,000 tax credit, you not only would not owe that $550, you would get back another $450 from the government on top of that. You get $1,000 in actual tax credit. So this is, we're talking about tax credit here, not a tax deduction. And what had happened is that families making between $10,500 and $26,625 is the amount. And the Republicans are saying they will not, in the House, the Senate passed this thing, the Republicans are saying they will not pass this thing unless they balloon it from $3 billion up to $80 billion by making it available to couples who earn between $150,000 and $200,000 a year. Quoting from yesterday's New York Times, it would also make the full credit available to cover couples making up to $150,000, phasing out at around $200,000 a year. And furthermore, and again to quote from yesterday's Times, it would go much further than the Senate bill in giving the credit to more than 25 million middle and upper middle class families through 2010, rather than ending in 2005 as the new tax law. Now, what this apparently, the way this is written now, people who make between $10,500 and $26,600 are going to see their tax credit go away in 2005. But under the House bill, those who make over $150,000 won't see theirs go away until 2010. None of that was reported on by this so-called reporter that Dan Rather had on last night. It was just amazing. She said, she talked about some of the background and some of the debate, but then she completely ignored the major issue. Just incredible. GOP whip, Roy Blunt, number three guy in the Republican Party, is coming under fire for, he took $100,000 from Philip Morris and much more from other tobacco companies. His son is a tobacco lobbyist, and he's slipping stuff that's going to make the tobacco companies millions, if not billions of dollars, into legislation without even discussing it with his peers. And another GOP appearance of bribery scandal seems to be brewing. The FCC, it looks like the Senate might overturn the FCC, although I would say don't count on it. We see from Radio Inc., the industry publication, the National Association of Broadcasters has given about $1 million to lawmakers during each of the last two elections, with 60% going to Republicans. So we've got a collection of odd stuff here. This is the remarkable website, House.gov, www.house.gov/appropriations_Democrats/caughtonfilm.htm. And I know I said that too fast. I'll put it up on my website after we get off the air. And George Bush, in January, March 1st of 2001, showed up at the Eggleston's Children's Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, "This is a hospital, but it's also a place full of love. And I was most touched by meeting the parents and the kids and the nurses and the docs, all of whom working hard to save lives. I want to thank the moms who are here. Thank you so much for your hospitality. There's a lot of talk about budgets right now, and I'm here to talk about the budget. My job as the president is to submit a budget to the Congress and to set priorities. And one of the priorities that we've talked about is making sure the health care systems are funded." End quote. So next year he submits his budget. And his first budget proposal cut grants to children's hospitals like the one he visited, Eggleston in Atlanta, by 15%, $34 million. And in his 2004 budget, the following year, he proposed to cut the budget to the hospital by 30%, $86 million out of grants to children's hospitals. This is from a chronology of Bush saying one thing, then doing another. And I think we'll start sharing one of those a day with you. In April, this is from the York Daily Record. In April, when Republicans on the New York City Board of Elections killed a plan to repair voting machines that had under-recorded votes in the 2000 election, with most of the unlucky voters being Democrats. This was a largely Democratic district where the magic electronic voting machine somehow didn't track votes. Republican Commissioner Stephen Weiner, or Weiner, I'm not sure, the same name as Michael Savage's real last name. Anyhow, Stephen Weiner denied that his party's disinterest in properly functioning machines showed bias against Democrats. The Republican, who's in charge of the voting machines, said, in the New York City Board of Elections, said, quote, "There are some people who don't want their votes registered, but who report to the polls for civic reasons." End quote. April 16, 03, Newsday. Thought you'd like to hear about that. We got some emails. We'll get to those a little bit later on. Our question for this hour is the American corporate empire repeating the mistakes of the British, Ottoman, Roman, and Sumerian empires? I want to start out with JFK talking about his vision of America and then get into what's going on in Venezuela and then Iran and then Iraq and the history of the Ottoman Empire. And this is going to be a fascinating look into the past and the present. And our hope, in my opinion, is that we can revisit JFK's vision of America. So let's first of all start out with a sense of what was his vision of America. Yeah, this is from this speech. This is a speech that was given 40 years ago.
I have therefore chosen this time and place to discuss a topic on which ignorance too often abounds and the truth too rarely perceived. And that is the most important topic on earth, peace.
So number one, he says, peace is the most important thing.
What kind of a peace do I mean, and what kind of a peace do we seek? Not a Pax Americana, enforced on the world by American weapons of war.
Not a Pax Americana, forced on the world by American weapons of war. That's not what he means by peace. This man had an extraordinary vision for America. It's worth revisiting.
Not the peace of the grave. Or the security of the slave. I am talking about genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living, the kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and build a better life for their children. Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, but peace in all time.
His point was that this kind of peace that he's talking about is not the absence of war. It is the presence of peace. It is a proactive, positive vision rather than let's just kill off the bad guys. There's much more to peace than this, in John Kennedy's view. Is the American corporate empire repeating the mistakes of the British, Ottoman, Roman, and Sumerian empires? JFK continued.
I speak of peace, therefore, as the necessary rational end of rational men. I realize the pursuit of peace is not as dramatic as the pursuit of war, and frequently the words of the pursuers fall on deaf ears, but we have no more urgent task.
That's such an important point, that war is so spectacular. You get to fly onto aircraft carriers and walk around with socks in your pants and do all sorts of strange things, but that's not what peace is. So what is peace?
No government or social system is so evil that its people must be considered as lacking in virtue.
Wow. Respect all people.
Our military forces are committed to peace and disciplined in self-restraint.
What? Our military forces?
Our diplomats are instructed to avoid unnecessary irritants and purely rhetorical hostility.
Such as calling people axes of evil.
For we can seek a relaxation of tensions without relaxing our guard. And for our part, we do not need to use threats to prove we are resolute.
Kennedy understood the difference between being a schoolyard bully and genuinely seeking peace by respecting all people and yet not tolerating any nonsense. I mean, look at how he backed down the Soviet Union during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Meanwhile, we seek to strengthen the United Nations to help solve its financial problems, to make it a more effective instrument for peace, to develop it into a genuine world security system, a system capable of resolving disputes on the basis of law, of ensuring the security of the large and the small, and of creating conditions under which arms can finally be abolished.
Let's work together with other nations to create peace.
The United States, as the world knows, will never start a war.
We'll never start a war.
We do not want a war. We do not now expect a war. This generation of Americans has already had enough, more than enough, of war and hate and oppression.
We've absolutely had enough. That's it, JFK says. Let's look for peace. Now, where do we go from here with this knowledge? You're listening to the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about
if you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Three chicks came from Texas with a banjo and guitar and a fiddle that could make you cry or set your soul on fire. Their mamas taught them to speak up about what they thought was true, and they thought their country gave that right to them and me and you. Now, one night back in England, one of these babes brought up a beef about how she wasn't too bewitched with her commander-in-chief. Some folks did not appreciate how she denounced their man. These patriots rolled up their sleeves and took matters in hand.
Let's meet all the Dixie Chicks. We're too nice to use rocks and sticks. So let's demolish their CDs with a bulldozer or whatever you please.
If this reminds you a little bit of bonfires in Berlin. Well, cowboy, that just goes to prove it can always happen again.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Is the American corporate empire repeating the mistakes of the British, Ottoman, Roman, and Sumerian or Mesopotamian empires? We have a lively conversation going on in our chat room, by the way. If you want to pop in there, go to tomhartman.com, click on the link to the radio show, and then click on the link to the chat room. That takes you into the trade forum on CompuServe. Just click the chat button. And one of the folks talks about, you know, Kennedy knew corporations. He knew America. He connected. Sigh. Horny guy, too. The comment. Yes. And then another one says, well, let's not get too nostalgic for Kennedy. And interesting discussion going on there. It's the ability to inspire the country. I think it goes beyond just being able to inspire a country. I think it goes to having a clear vision of what America could be, a vision that's grounded in 200 years of history, because it's a vision that people have held in this country since, well, if you want to go back to the Iroquois, for a thousand years, for thousands of years, the idea of people living together in peace. If you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. We're going to get into the history and situation currently in Venezuela, Iran, and Iraq, and Billy in Santa Cruz, California is on the line. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, good to hear you.
On the show that you did with the clips of the presidents reading the speeches. That was
Thank
great.
You. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You know, what you're talking about today, it strikes me that when we think about war, which, as you point out, is so damn attractive, especially to those of us who are 17 years old and male.
Oh, yeah, it's so sexy.
I mean, I have all those feelings that the that the right-wingers have at times. I want to be able to say, my country's the greatest no matter what. I want to get those bastards when they did to us what they did to us. And it does. And let's turn the desert to glass. But when I feel all those things now, I'm aware that it's about flaws in my character and a certain lack of maturity that I exhibit at times.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I confess to the same feelings and the same insights. Billy, there have been times when I've been, and then it's like, where did that come from?
We know where
do.
It comes from. It comes from a lower part of ourselves, what we would call the lower chakras, or the more primitive aspects of what it means to be a human. But, you know, I actually believe in evolution, and I'm aware now that I'm supposed to fight off those kinds of feelings. I know that I can always get 19-year-olds to go to war. If you look at on the Arab street, it's not a bunch of 50-year-old men. It's youth throwing stones.
Yep.
Because you can get them excited. You can get them excited either the Bush way with lies about weapons of mass destruction or any other way.
Yeah. I agree, Billy.
So what's incumbent upon us is to try to elect more mature leaders who tend to have that, let's get them, in Texas. When the Bush was king there as governor, he never saw a death penalty he didn't want to enforce.
Yeah, no, I agree. Not only do we need more mature leaders, but I think that we also need more mature commentators. I think that one of the problems that we are facing right now in the United States is that the level of discourse has disintegrated. And I'm hoping to do my part to bring it back. Billy, thank you for the call. I appreciate your calling. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your right-on comments. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. As a Sunday contract deadline fast approaches, union employees of General Electric's U.S. operations have drawn a line in the sand. GE pays 80% of its employees' health insurance premiums and is looking to reduce its share even further. But yesterday, union negotiators reportedly rejected the company's bid for sharp increases in health care costs. A two-day strike earlier this year by GE's nearly 25,000 union workers was the first such walkout since 1969, but union leaders say they're ready to walk out again in order to maintain health insurance benefits.
The U.S. Mint in Denver is scrambling to deal with a petition signed by nearly three dozen women working there, charging the Mint with creating a workplace rife with sexual harassment and discrimination. The women say the behavior's been going on for years. Not only were they repeatedly passed over for promotion and subjected to sexist remarks, but in many cases, the only way they could move up the ladder was to have sex with supervisors.
Today marks the second annual World Day Against Child Labor, and this year, labor groups around the globe are focusing on the 1.2 million children trafficked each year into exploitative work. According to the International Labor Organization, children around the world are forced to work in mining, agriculture, and the commercial sex industry, while others are pressed into service as child soldiers.
Two new laws went into effect in the UK yesterday that offer workers more pension and privacy protections. The first sets up a government pensions insurance plan. In the event of a bankruptcy, the insurance plan will guarantee they recover at least a good portion of their pension investments. The second law bans most types of surveillance in the workplace unless employees are informed of the snooping in advance. A survey of more than 200 British companies done last year found one in five monitor employees' phone calls and emails on a daily basis.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
So if you ever get a notion to state what's on your mind, make sure it's something flattering or at least extremely kind, or you'll find your controversy quotients completely out of hand. Though you might improve your record sales and the quality of your fans.
Let's beat on the Dixie Chicks. We're too nice to use rocks and sticks. So let's demolish their CDs with a bulldozer or whatever you please.
If this reminds you a little bit of bonfires in Berlin. Well, cowboy, that just goes to prove we can get you once again. Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Is the American corporate empire repeating the mistakes of the British, Ottoman, Roman, and Sumerian empires? If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. You know, Louise, my producer here, was just commenting about Billy's comment, how much we appreciate that kind of an insightful comment. And Billy, if you're still listening, I imagine you probably are. I have a book coming out this fall. I'm not trying to pitch the book, but it's called The Edison Gene, and there's a whole chapter in there about the difference between limbic brain and reptilian brain functions, and you may find it interesting because it speaks right to what you're talking about. And I learned a lot of that stuff at the Winter Brain Conference put on by Rob Call, who's also the publisher of opednews.com, and according to my screen, he is on the line. Rob, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Hey, Rob, what's
up?
We
were just talking about the level of discourse in discussion, and
yes.
I just found some new news. The comedian Dennis Miller, the one who's on HBO,
yeah.
Probably because of his language, he's going to be on Fox. He's joining Hannity and Combs.
Oh, he's come out as a screaming right-winger.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that's going to contribute anything to the level of discourse.
Yeah, well, I never was under the illusion that Roger Ailes' Fox Network would be anything that would contribute anything to the level of discourse. So thanks for the insight, though, Rob. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Good bit of data there, I guess. In Caracas, Venezuela, every Sunday, by the way, this is some of this stuff is from today's Wall Street Journal. There's a really good article and that reveals not only some useful information, but also the bias of the Wall Street Journal about Hugo Chavez and what's going on in Venezuela. Every Sunday, the president of the country, the democratically elected president of the country, gets on TV and talks for 4 or 5 hours without a break, fielding phone calls, demanding that government ministers stand up and defend themselves and their policies, and sometimes even breaks into songs. And, in fact, last year, according to the Wall Street Journal, in one memorable show last year, he repeatedly blew a soccer referee's whistle and shouted, "That's enough!" as one by one he fired 7 dissident executives of the state-owned oil company. He is incredibly popular among the middle class and poor people of Venezuela. So the Wall Street Journal says, yet the former paratrooper and coup leader has managed to keep his hold on power since being elected in 1998. Demagoguery, and they say he does it by using demagoguery, class warfare, and a clampdown by the state over the means of production. Now, he would suggest, and the people in Venezuela, and I've been to Venezuela. In fact, I was there back in the early 80s. No, it must have been the late 80s, during a coup attempt. Luis and I were there the day that a coup happened. And, in fact, it might have been the one that Chavez was leading. I'd have to go back and look at our diaries. But he would have said, because he led an unsuccessful coup, got thrown in jail, he apologized, and then he became a politician. And then he ran for president, and he won. He would say that the demagoguery is on the part of the corporations who are so upset that he nationalized the oil. He said, this oil in Venezuela belongs to we the people. It does not belong to any corporations. And we the people of Venezuela would be glad to sell it to the oil corporations. And they are very unhappy about that. They say, no, it should be privatized, meaning that the resources of the nation should be owned by a corporation. And they say, when he says that it should be the property of we the people of Venezuela, and that some of the revenue from it should go to their benefit, the Wall Street Journal calls that class warfare and demagoguery. Our question is, the American corporate empire repeating the mistakes of the British, Ottoman, Roman, and Sumerian empires, perhaps, quoting from the Wall Street Journal, some U.S. officials, this is an article by Mark Lifshire, an excellent article, by the way, Chavez combines old, new to keep grip on Venezuela, even if it does reveal a little bit of the journal's bias, quote, some U.S. officials say Venezuela has become Washington's biggest Latin American headache. After the old standby Cuba, about 14% of the U.S. oil comes from Venezuela. Now, I remember during the big oil crisis back in the early 70s, 72, 73, a quarter of our oil came from all international sources, but now we're importing more than half of our oil, and 14% of our total oil 28 or 29 or 30% of all the oil we're importing is coming from Venezuela. And the nation is, and back to the Wall Street Journal, and the nation is considered a key supplier because it is so close. It takes about 5 days for the U.S. to import oil from Venezuela compared to 5 weeks in the Middle East, meaning not only does it get here faster, but it gets here a heck of a lot cheaper. So then they go on to say, Mr. Chavez, 48, pops up at regional summit meetings to complain international leaders are doing little to improve the plight of the masses in Latin America who survive on less than $2 a day. Oh, how dare he. Somebody representing the interests of the people who live on $2 a day? The Wall Street Journal does not approve. Quote, about once a month he boards the $75 million Airbus jet he had the government purchase after he was elected in 1998. Oh, my goodness. He has an Air Force One sort of jet. Let's criticize him for that. And to visit neighboring countries, where he charms the anti-globalization set, local activists, and old-line leftists. They really don't like this guy. He regularly criticizes Washington's multi-billion dollar efforts to help Colombia in its decades-old long battle against guerrillas and drug traffickers. Maybe because so many other people in South America also criticize that. Interestingly, the areas of Colombia where we are most active against the guerrillas happen to be the areas where you can pump oil. Chavez declined to be interviewed for the article. Venezuela is now Cuba's largest trading partner. They're providing Cuba with 53,000 barrels a day, according to the journal. But Mr. Chavez disavows communist leanings. He says, Venezuela's project is not communist. And it's not. The Wall Street Journal goes on to say, he favors small businesses over large ones. Another black mark. And it goes on to add, in 1982, he and other junior officers formed a secret group, the Bolivarian Revolutionary Movement 200, MBR 200. They vowed to change a society they considered corrupt because of power sharing between the country's two main political parties. So this guy came in sort of like a Teddy Roosevelt character saying, these corporations are not helping us, they're hurting us. He was elected on a people power platform, and there was a, back last year, there was an attempt to throw him out, to overthrow his government. It was an attempt by the executives of the oil industry, the national oil industry. He, as a result of it, and they shut down the oil production, he fired 18,000 rebellious executives. See, they wanted the oil industry to be nationalized so that they could start getting those huge salaries that oil executives in the United States get. And this was a big bump in the road for Venezuela, a big problem. Interestingly, the day that 100,000 people marched against Chavez, many of them the wealthy, 200,000 people marched in favor of him. The New York Times chose only to report on the 100,000 who marched against him. Our question is the American corporate empire repeating the mistakes of the British, Ottoman, Roman, and Sumerian empires. Here we are meddling in the situation in Venezuela repeatedly. And the history of it goes on, you know, way beyond this, but I want to move on. Let me just wrap up the Kennedy clips here. There's one last comment by JFK, and this, in fact, perhaps even leads better into our second hour about the question of should we assert ourselves in a way that characterizes us as terrified, neurotic, angry, you know, with daily terror alerts, panicking our citizens? Or should we say, we are strong and confident because we have a vision of democracy that we know will prevail. Let's see what Kennedy had to say about this.
We shall be prepared if others wish it. We shall be alert to try to stop it. But we shall also do our part to build a world of peace where the weak are safe and the strong are just. We are not helpless before that task, or hopeless of its success. Confident and unafraid, we must labor on, not towards a strategy of annihilation, but towards a strategy of peace.
Confident and unafraid. It's been a few years since any of our leaders have talked like that. I am impressed. Iran denies U.S. inspection team access to the nuclear power plant. This from today's Wall Street Journal. Iran denied a team of experts from the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, access to its nuclear facilities. And this is causing Russia some problems, because Russia had told George Bush, back when they had their meeting a few last week or the week before that in Europe, Putin, had told Bush that he wasn't going to ship nuclear fuel to Iran. Bush was all concerned about this because Russia's building this nuclear power plant in Iran, and it's a domestic, regular, generate electricity reactor. And, of course, the administration's going, wait a minute, these people are sitting on all this oil. What do they need a nuclear power plant for? Well, that may or may not be a good question. I mean, there's the Iranians say, well, we're sitting on all this oil, and we'd like to keep sitting on it. Because if you burn it up, it'll be gone in 30 years. I mean, current rates of consumption, Iran's sitting on about a 30-year supply of oil. They're planning for the future, they would say. But in Washington, D.C., they say, wait a minute, no, we're going to burn all our oil. They should be burning all their oil. So according to the Wall Street Journal, President Vladimir Putin appeared to line up with the U.S. when he told a Group of Eight meeting earlier this month that Russia would delay delivering fuel to the nuclear power plant until the Islamic Republic agreed to tighter IAEA inspections. But, the journal points out, Russian officials later said Moscow wasn't making any such demand, claiming bureaucratic delays have held up the shipment of the deal to ship fuel to the plant. In other words, Putin says to Bush, don't worry, George, we will do what you want. And then after they leave, Putin says, hey, we got a deal with Iran. We're going to send them this stuff. So this seems to be the beginning of some stresses also. Now, what do these stresses mean? My thinking on this is that this war, or this tension, let's say, that is forming between the United States and Iran, hopefully it won't become a war, is a repeat of an ancient clash of civilizations. And I think we're seeing the same thing in Iraq, the exact same thing in Iraq. And that clash of civilizations is what has historically brought down empires. Is the American corporate empire repeating the mistakes of the British, Ottoman, Roman, and Sumerian empires? U.S. banks are vying for work rebuilding Iraq's financial system. According to today's Wall Street Journal, American banks are aggressively seeking what could be a lucrative role in rebuilding Iran's financial system. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, Citibank, Bank of America, and several others have conferred with Treasury Department officials in recent weeks. They go on to point out that already U.S. officials have taken political heat for choosing only U.S. companies for these projects in Iran. But it looks like it's going to be U.S. banks over there. And this whole project of privatizing the nation, here again from the Wall Street Journal, the Bush administration already has drafted sweeping plans to establish a free market economy in Iraq, including the privatization of state-owned industries. In other words, taking the resources of Iraq, like oil, and selling them off to private corporations who will then, you know, exploit them, use them, sell them, whatever. Okay, so what's the history of this area? Well, it was the Mesopotamia from 3500 B.C. to around 632. Babylon, the Assyrians, came under Persian rule in 539 B.C. Alexander the Great conquered in the 300 B.C. era. That was when he also snuffed out Athenian Greek democracy. And the Persians, that is the Iranians, then reconquered Iraq in 64 B.C. Then we fast forward about 600 years, and around 632, Muhammad is born, and the founder of Islam. He sends his armies to take Mesopotamia and convert the population to Islam. And there's this split between the Sunnis and the Shiites. One group saying that they're following the descendants of Muhammad, the other saying that they're following the appointees of Muhammad. Baghdad was destroyed in 1258 by the Mongol invaders, and its library was sacked. The Ottoman Empire rises, and then British rule starts in 1914. I think what a lot of people don't realize is the Ottoman Empire, which unified the Middle East, took a big chunk of southern Europe and southwestern Russia, a large chunk of northern Africa. The Ottoman Empire only ended in 1914 with World War I, when Turkey aligned itself with Germany and was defeated. That was the end of the Ottoman Empire. And in the late 1800s, the British Navy shifted from coal to oil as their main source of fuel, and that was when England got involved, and they ruled Iraq from 1914 after World War I to 1932, and then from 32 to 58, they were theoretically an independent country, and then the Ba'athists came to power in 72, and then Saddam in 79. And now we have this mess. Here with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll wrap this up in just a few minutes.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express lawsuit funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Attention, allergy symptoms have been spotted in your area. Please look out for itchy, watery eyes, sinus pain, and runny noses. It is important to note that Claritin and Benadryl allergy cannot relieve all these symptoms. So protect yourself from allergy, sinus pain, pressure, and congestion with Tylenol Allergy Sinus. Repeat, Tylenol Allergy Sinus relieves more symptoms than Claritin and Benadryl allergy. Listeners should use only Tylenol Allergy Sinus as directed.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi,
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Is the American corporate empire repeating mistakes of past empires? Our quote for the day from John F. Kennedy: the problems of the world cannot possibly be solved by skeptics or cynics whose horizons are limited by the obvious realities. We need people who can dream of things that never were. John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Saddam Hussein was born in the same town as Saladin. Saladin was the Arab warrior, fighter, who successfully pushed back the Christians at the end of the Crusades in the 11th and 12th centuries, pushed them out of these out of Jerusalem, and conquered much of the Middle East. And Saddam Hussein clearly thought of himself as perhaps even a reincarnation of Saladin. And he talked about Saladin a great deal. He also thought perhaps he was a reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, who built up Babylon, which is that same area, and destroyed Jerusalem's Temple of Solomon in 586 B.C. So you've got this ancient history in this area of these people who, for thousands, first of all, it's the oldest civilization that is known, what we call a civilization. I mean, the Epic of Gilgamesh is the oldest known written story, and Gilgamesh was from the city of Ur, which is in Iraq. The oldest story of the oldest empire. It has its own Noah's Ark story, only it's an Iraqi guy, and it's 1,000 years before Noah was alive. And this is really old. And these people, all these years, whether it was overthrowing this bunch or that, I mean, just right on, all the way up to the British after World War I, anytime anybody tried to occupy them, they threw them out on their butts. And are we setting ourselves up for a similar situation? And if we continue with this, and we try to take Iran and Syria and try to play cop in the region, are we going to cut ourselves off at the knees? You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Through a hole in the air, from those ads, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
The Peter Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werbe and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. The death toll from a new round of attacks today in the Gaza Strip stands at 7, with dozens more injured. Today's violence took place as Israeli helicopter gunships targeted a car driven by a leading Hamas member. Yasser Taha was killed along with his wife and two children. A Hamas spokesman has vowed revenge for the airstrike and says that every Israeli is now a target of the Palestinian militant group. Meanwhile, Reinen Gissen, senior advisor to Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, says they are going to dismantle the terrorist organization called Hamas.
This is a relentless fight against a terrorist organization, which is unfortunately our Al-Qaeda.
National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, meanwhile, is speaking out about the latest wave of violence in the Middle East. Rice stresses the need for all parties in the tinderbox region to fight terrorism so that the Mideast roadmap to peace can go forward. She calls on Israelis, Palestinians, and all Arab states to work together to meet the goal to ensure the creation and security of two peaceful nations side by side. Television newscaster David Brinkley is dead at age 82. Former executive producer of the NBC's Nightly News with David Brinkley from 1976. Until 1980, Joe Angotti says Brinkley had a great sense of humor and was fun to be around.
He was a pleasure to work with. He was dedicated. He was devoted. He was the ultimate writer.
Brinkley debuted NBC's The Huntley Brinkley Report in 1956 with Chet Huntley. A quarter of a century later, he began This Week with David Brinkley on ABC on Sunday mornings. Brinkley was the recipient of the Peabody Award, an Emmy, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom, among other honors. A U.S. helicopter was reportedly shot down in Iraq, apparently by Ba'ath Party troops. It happened during clashes between coalition forces and fighters loyal to Saddam Hussein in the west of the country, and follows a recent rash of coordinated attacks on American troops. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was down 3 points, the Nasdaq up 4 points, and the S&P down slightly.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Inspectors from the Department of Homeland Security will reportedly be traveling to foreign ports as part of a beefed-up effort to keep biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons out of the U.S. According to the New York Times, teams will be sent to areas that are primarily Muslim ports. The nation's senior citizens may soon find it easier to get low-cost generic prescriptions. President Bush today will lay out details that would put a cap on a drug patent holder's ability to lengthen the process for introducing a generic drug.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it? You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Former Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating says he has run into obstacles from Catholic Church officials around the country as he investigates reports of priests who abused children. Keating heads the National Review Board created by U.S. Catholic bishops. A new report says registered users of the online buy-sell trade website called eBay have now passed the 62 million mark. That amounts to over one-fifth of the entire U.S. population. The report, part of a book called The eBay Bible, also says someone buys a vehicle on the site every 2 seconds, a digital camera about every 90 seconds, and a diamond ring every 6 minutes. The book was written by Jim Griffith, the site's first customer service representative. And it's a big day for the Bush clan. Former President Bush is 79 years old today. The family is expected to gather in Kennebunkport, Maine for a celebration. President Bush will be taking a long weekend. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. You know every substance is a liquid, a gas, or a solid. But if the air in your community is more like a solid than a gas, stay tuned. When I come back, I'll tell you what you can do to help Mother Nature. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. You can help save Mother Earth. Start by recovering and recycling your car's fluids. 1 quart of used oil can contaminate almost 2 million gallons of water. Here's another tip. No need to warm up your car. Driving moderately for about 10 minutes does the trick while conserving gas and saving the atmosphere from idle exhaust. And don't forget to change your air filter. Dirty filters are a common cause of excessive emissions, reduced gas mileage, and poor performance. So keep Mother Nature happy and leave your children a cleaner world. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
You win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite, channel 145, and streaming across the world from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org. Somebody in our chat room, if you want to get to the chat room, by the way, it's TomHartman.com and then click on... the radio program and then click on the chat room button. If you want to get into the somebody in the chat room made the point that Marxism, you know, somebody said something about Marxism, and there's this little discussion about Marxism going on. And, you know, there's an important point here that I think a lot of people miss. I think that the Wall Street Journal certainly missed this in their commentary about what's going on in Venezuela, because they said that Chavez's nationalization of the oil industry in Venezuela was controlling by the state of the means of production. And it's not the case. And this is what I think Karl Marx got wrong. Karl Marx got a lot wrong. He got a couple of things right. His identifying the cycles of capitalism and things like that. If you read Das Kapital, he identified some real problems in capitalism, and we've actually gone a long way towards solving a lot of those. But he got a couple of things really hugely wrong. The idea that there should be no private property. It's a huge mistake. It's completely antithetical to the history of this nation. The idea that the state should control the means of production means that you don't have entrepreneurs anymore. Entrepreneurialism is what built this country. But there's a third piece to that that has nothing to do with Karl Marx. It has to do with how things have been done historically in the United States and how Venezuela is trying to do it right now. And that is that there are some things that we all collectively hold in common, not the means of production. That is not the factories, but the resources. We collectively own the air that we breathe, and therefore we collectively, through our elected officials, our representatives, our government, we the people, we have the right to regulate what gets dumped into that air. We collectively own the water we drink, and we have the right to control the purity of it. We collectively own the infrastructure of our nation, the roads. We collectively own the airwaves. We collectively, and on it goes. Well, many nations have historically said, we collectively own the natural resources of this country. And so if there's oil under the ground, it belongs to all of us, because it's not going to just be underneath your lot. Most oil pools are miles, some are hundreds of miles across, some thousands of miles across. Well, actually, I don't know of any thousands of miles, many hundreds of miles across. And so they say, you know, this is a resource of the nation, and that's what Iraq did, and that's what Venezuela has done. And that is not controlling the means of the production. That is saying we the people own the resources. And we have asserted that right under of owning the resources of the property that we have on national forest lands, the ANWR up in Alaska. That oil belongs to we the people. Doesn't belong to a private enterprise. But, you know, in the United States, historically, we've said if you drill in your property and you find oil, it belongs to you. And it's built some fortunes. And you can argue the rightness or wrongness of that. But the point that I'm trying to make is not that we should change anything in the United States, but rather that when a nation, when a sovereign nation decides that a resource, in this case oil, belongs to them, that is not Marxism. That is not what Karl Marx was talking about. That's simply, that has nothing to do with the means of production. That has to do with resources. Our question for this hour, can democracy survive in a Big Brother environment? Interesting quote, a little comment here. Somebody sent me this, and if you run across, you know, jokes, feel free to send them to me. How many conservatives does it take to change a light bulb? The answer, two. One to remove a perfectly good light bulb and give it away to a millionaire, and one to swipe a new bulb from the Social Security Administration office. So, our attempts at humor here on the Tom Hartman radio program. Can democracy survive in a Big Brother environment? Let me read you the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution. This was put together in large part by the efforts of James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. Worked out in correspondence between the two of them while Madison was at the Constitutional Convention and Jefferson was in Paris. Amendment 4, United States Constitution, part of the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. It says these are the rights that human beings have, although corporations are trying to claim them. Now, Amendment 4, the right of the people. Notice that, people, not the right of the corporations, although they have asserted this right. In several different Supreme Court cases, a tobacco company and a chemical company have both said that government cannot snoop into their stuff because of Fourth Amendment rights, and the Supreme Court, oddly enough, has upheld this. But anyhow, back to the Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. How is it under the Patriot Act that your local police department can now go into your home if you are not there, or the FBI can go into your home if you are not there and search your home without a warrant and never inform you of it? It's called the sneak and peek provision of the Patriot Act. When the Fourth Amendment so absolutely defies this. Okay, we have really gone in some strange directions here. And then the First Amendment, because these both come back to what they're cooking up here. Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Now, first of all, ever since the Patriot Act was passed, if you try to show up any place where George W. Bush or John Ashcroft are giving a speech, you will be herded into a enclosed, fenced-in free speech zone where you will be kept at the point of a gun, in some cases blocks away. This all started not with the administration of George W. Bush. This started way, way back ago. And I want to tell you just a couple of little stories. I've referenced this a couple of times in the last week, but I never really shared with you some of the stories that make it so real. I want to get into them. If you'd like to be on the program today, by the way, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Linda in Cupertino, California is on the line. Welcome to the program, Linda.
Hi, Tom. Yes, your conversation today about the Big Brother and democracy, you know, really strikes at the heart of what is wrong with our country right now. And I remember a speech that President Clinton gave here in San Francisco, like the first year of after September 11, where he was saying to the audience, what kind of America do you want to live in? Do you right. want to be treated like like any alleged terrorist and build walls around yes. you and everything that you own and all the property that you own and everything? Or do you want to create a different America?
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I think that, you know, I think that Americans were lulled into the idea that the Patriot Act was in their best interest because September 11 let these people in. But mm-hmm. I've been reading about other countries and how they have been passing beefed up security laws for their own people in their countries.
Oh, we've created an international fad.
Oh, yeah, including Japan and other countries yeah. who are terribly opposed to war and military yeah. action.
Although Japan has a nascent fascist streak just under the surface. I mean,
yes,
I spent
indeed.
A fair amount of time there.
That's an aberration. Yeah,
they sure loved Hirohito and the.
Yeah, they're an aberration because they have so much subsidizing by government of their economy over there.
I agree.
And that's why it's in such a poor state. But anyway, yeah. getting back to Americans, I don't think that Americans intended for the Patriot Act to treat them like alleged terrorists. And there needs to be something in the Patriot Act that we can insert back into it that says if this is a law-abiding American citizen who has nothing whatever to do with terrorism and is just, you know, reading a book on terrorism or from the library or, you know, something or
dissenting. That's enough, yeah.
That is where you draw the line, and
yep.
government should not abuse power.
I agree. I'm right there with you, Linda. Thank you for the call and thank you for the comment. I appreciate that very much, and I absolutely agree. Although I think instead of saying that we should amend the Patriot Act to say that, I think we should simply pull it out and throw it away. Back in 1798, what we're looking at really here is a dueling worldviews. You heard John Kennedy's worldview in the previous hour where he said, we are a nation that is not afraid. Back in 1798, the second president of the United States, John Adams, was under attack in a newspaper called the Philadelphia Aurora. It was published by a guy by the name of Benjamin Bach. And Abigail Adams was so upset about this. Now, you won't read about this in the Republican biographies of John Adams, but let me tell you, you can find it in any dictionary or any encyclopedia. President's wife, Abigail, complained about, quote, abuse, deception, and falsehood in the editorials that were in the Aurora. In April of 1798, Benjamin Back, the editor of the Aurora, said that John Adams was, quote, old, querulous, bald, blind, crippled, and toothless. And Abigail Adams wrote a letter to her husband in which she said that this guy, this newspaper editor, was a, quote, lying wretch, end quote, given to the, quote, most insolent and abusive language, end quote, and that he wrote with the, quote, malice of Satan, end quote. She said, something must be done. She repeatedly demanded that something be done about this man, this, quote, wicked, base, violent, and culminating abuse leveled against the government. See, she and John made the mistake of thinking that John Adams was the president, or was the government, when in fact he was the president. Now, at the time, the Federalists, John Adams' party, what today would be called the Republican Party, having gone through a couple of reincarnations, were describing what were then called the Democratic Republicans, now called the Democrats, as Democrats, mobocrats, and all other kinds of rats. The refuse, the sweepings of the most depraved part of mankind from the most corrupt nations on earth, end quote, from the Federalists. Matthew in Louisiana, stick around. We'll get to your call right after this break. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay with us. I'll be right back.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work? To a mall? To the city. That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
What's the one key ingredient missing from the relief of allergies that hurt? The pain reliever in Advil. Yes, Advil. New Advil Allergy Sinus is a one-of-a-kind formula that takes the pain out of allergies in a whole new way. A recent study showed that when Advil is combined with its allergy medicine, you get better relief of your worst allergy symptoms, all with less of the medicine that makes you drowsy. Advance to new Advil Allergy Sinus and stop allergies that hurt.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're among the millions of workers and shareholders who are sick of seeing your companies crash while the pampered CEOs who caused the wreck skip gaily away with tens of millions of dollars in lavish pay packages, you might want to look to England for hope. There's been a long simmering political debate across the pond about the unseemly self-enrichment of their corporate chieftains. Even though CEO pay there still is a fraction of the sums paid to corporate royalty here in America. But some British wannabes have been steadily pushing to bring buccaneering off-the-charts U.S.-style pay levels to England. For example, the aptly named Sir Christopher Hogg, chairman of the global drug giant GlaxoSmithKline, claims that British pay levels must become competitive with the king's ransoms paid to American CEOs. Hogwash, shout England's shareholder and worker groups, who've seen the destructive results in America when the fortunes of top executives are separated from the well-being of everyone else. These egalitarian forces have been fighting the Sir Hogs and winning. In January, a new law passed requiring large British corporations to, one, disclose details of pay packages, and, two, put them to a vote by shareholders. The law is working. In May, shareholders and union pensioners gave Sir Hogg's own corporation a comeuppance, voting down the proposed deal for Glaxo's CEO, who would have gotten a special $24 million payout even if he had bankrupted the company. Now, to avoid similar public humiliation, honchos at the retailing giant Kingfisher are scaling down their extravagant deals prior to facing shareholders at their upcoming meeting. This is Jim Hightower saying, the rebellion is on. And not only are the Brits storming the barricades of CEO power, but it's happening here, too. To help foster the rebellion among American shareholders, call United for a Fair Economy, 617-423-2148.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
See the dog and butterfly up in the air. We like to fly. The dog and butterfly. And though she had a try, she rode back down the warm, soft ground, laughing. She don't know why.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where democracy is still alive and well. And hoping that it'll stay that way in America, we're talking about the Alien and Sedition Acts, but we're going to get into some new provisions of the Patriot Act, Patriot II, and a really spooky thing that just happened, the Department of Defense is doing. But Matthew in Louisiana has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 to be on our program. Matthew, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. I really like your show a lot.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I wanted to say I'm glad you brought up this topic about security kind of hysteria. And I wanted to say I'm real concerned about it, just like the woman who just called in. And one of the reasons is because I read an article a while back about the fact that in London, they want to, within 5 years, they want to put police cameras on every city bus there.
Yeah, they already have them on many streets, although they're pointed at license plates to track speeders.
Yeah, I heard somebody that lives in New York say that they've got at least 1,000 cameras around New York City positioned, you know, and this really this really concerns me, because, I mean, we just seem to think nothing about giving up our privacy.
Yeah,
and that's
well,
one of the most important things, I think.
Yeah, I agree, and there's more to come. Just hang on. I got some other couple more things here to share with you that I think are going to curl your hair. Thanks
I
for
wanted
sharing
to I wanted to pass on a little bit of information. I heard about an organization called Liberty Day Kids, and they're on the net at libertydaykids.org, and they're a bunch of kids that are going around trying to educate people about the founding fathers and what our country was founded on. Now, I dropped out of school when I was 16 years old, and I think, I may be wrong about this, but I think I have the same level of education and know about as much about the founding fathers as that the average person does on the street, which is alarming.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, education and being well educated are two different things. There's a phrase about that Mark Twain used to use, but it doesn't come to mind immediately. But I remember he said, "I never let school get in the way of my getting a good education."
Yeah, well, that's good advice. I mean, I think they teach kids more about how to compete in a global market and how to crush the opposition. Because I hear some of these kids get out of college and they're ready to go into the workplace, and they're saying things like, "I'm just going to crush everybody in my way. I don't care about nothing," you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to listen to your show a little bit more. This is a very interesting topic.
Great. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling and thanks for listening. Coming to you soon from the Pentagon. A Diary to End All Diaries. This is from an article by Michael J. Sniffen in the Associated Press last week. A multimedia digital record of everywhere you go, everything you see, hear, read, say, and touch. This is from DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the group who brought us Total Information Awareness, which has now been renamed Terrorist Information Awareness, because Total Information Awareness seemed politically incorrect. They didn't change any of the provisions of the system. They just changed the name. This is a new program called the LifeLog Anti-Terrorism System. And they are trying to create breakthrough software to analyze habits and routines of average people. They have not identified a military application for this, oddly enough, even though it's coming out of the military. They want to gather enough information about people. Everything from heartbeats to travel to internet chatting will be recorded. to measure human experience on an unprecedentedly specific level. Cameras and microphones would capture what the user sees and hears. Sensors would record what he or she feels. Global positioning satellite sensors would log every movement. Biomedical sensors would monitor vital signs, emails, instant messages, web-based transactions, telephone calls, and voicemails. All would be stored. Mails and faxes would be scanned. Links to every radio and television broadcast heard in every newspaper, magazine, book, website, or database seen would be recorded. Can democracy survive Big Brother? This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Delegates from around the world met earlier this year to assess the global supply of fresh water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Thousands of the world's water experts and government officials met last March for the third of a series of World Water Forums. The most recent one was held in Kyoto, Japan, and it focused on water problems that affect virtually every part of the globe. The take-home message from the meeting is that major changes are needed everywhere in the management of fresh water. Ali Shadi is founder of the World Water Council, the group that organized the forum. Shadi says most water experts and many governments agree that the world is facing a water crisis.
The first most common one is water scarcity, where there is a permanent water shortage. Right now we have 26 countries with about 350 million people who suffer from permanent water shortage. And we expect by the year 2050, about two-thirds of the world will fall in this category.
Shadi says many countries don't have enough fresh water for the most basic human needs, for drinking, bathing, and growing food. Shadi says other problems include pollution and a lack of funding for dams, irrigation, and water treatment facilities. Shadi says participants in the World Water Forum had a lot of different ideas on how to deal with these problems, but he says they all agree that water management in the past has not been adequate. And he says if steps aren't taken to fix current problems, they're likely to grow worse in the future.
We cannot do business as usual anymore. That's a message that everybody carries home.
Shadi hopes the World Water Forum has drawn attention to the need for action on major water problems. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on radio stations on the ground and from outer space on Sirius Radio Satellite Network, channel 145. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. One of the folks in our chat room, which you can get to by clicking on TomHartman.com and going to the radio program page and then clicking on the chat room and then click on chat when you get into the trade forum. One of the folks in our chat room pointed out that the system that I was describing, the DARPA system, there's something like that already exists for commercial purposes. Well, oddly enough, this extraordinary DARPA project is going to be made available to corporations. It's being paid for by your tax dollars and mine. But they say it will be, quote, available to both the private sector and other governmental agencies, which is raising concerns among privacy advocates. What they're doing are recording every tiny little detail in the lives of some volunteers in order to, quote, find meaningful patterns in the timetable to infer the user's habits, routines, and relationships with other people, organizations, places, and objects, DARPA told contractors in an advisory, in order to figure out how people behave. Well, that's one part of it. Matthew from Louisiana had shared with us his concern about surveillance cameras. This from last month, an article that the ACLU had posted on their website. Proposed legislation before the Texas legislature includes a provision that would make secret the location and objectives of surveillance cameras used by law enforcement to watch innocent citizens. If this legislation passed, you would have no way of knowing when you, your family, or your home was being monitored. Even legislators couldn't find out whether state police placed hidden cameras in their Capitol offices. Now, how have things like this been used in the past? Well, in 1997, a top-ranking police officer in Washington, D.C., a senior police officer, was caught using police databases to gather information on patrons of a gay club. He was using the police database to look up their license plate numbers of cars parked near the club, researching the background of the vehicle's owners, and then contacting the ones who were married and trying to blackmail them. There have been other examples of abuse by folks in this regard. In June of last year, for example, the government requested the records of everyone in the United States taking diving lessons. This was exposed only because one solitary dive shop owner in Los Angeles had the guts to come forward and say, "Hey, we're not going to give you our database, and furthermore, we're going to go to the press." This from an interview with John Perry Barlow on Mother Jones. So we have some this, and he points out this is an administration that has recently reserved to itself the right to kill an American citizen anywhere on the planet for the mere suspicion of membership in Al-Qaeda. You may not remember, it didn't get a lot of press coverage, but it was out there. That in the during the Afghanistan conflict, there were four guys in a car. One of them was an American. One was somebody who was believed to be with Al-Qaeda. And the American was believed to have something to do with Al-Qaeda. Now, this guy had not been charged with a crime. He had not been convicted by a jury of his peers. He had not been interrogated. He was an American citizen. And they swooped down and hit this car with a missile to intentionally assassinate this guy, a United States citizen. Back in 1890, Louis Brandeis and Samuel Warren, his law partner, first came up with the idea that the, quote, the right to be left alone is the most comprehensive of rights and the most valued by all civilized men. He later got onto the Supreme Court and started promulgating this, and this was when the Fourth Amendment started being taken really seriously in the United States. But now we have this total information awareness, terrorist information awareness program, that is going to look at the past addresses, personal medical records, bank dealings, travel itineraries, mental health histories, credit card purchases, and all other so-called transactional data, spying without limit on the good guys in the hope that we'll find the bad guys. what is happening to democracy in the United States? Does this serve democracy? Are we served by this terrorized mentality? This is very, in my opinion, very small and very paranoid mentality. I think that J.A., the modern J.A., John Ashcroft, shares a lot with the ancient J.A., John Adams. Interestingly enough, by the way, if you go to the website.gov, the website whitehouse.gov, and click on history and presidents, you will see that the Bush White House has changed the order of the presidents so that John Adams comes up first. John Adams was the first president to propose and push through legislation similar to the Patriot Act, called the Alien and Sedition Acts. A week before the Sedition Act was even passed by the Congress, Supreme Court Justice Richard Peters issued a warrant for the arrest of Benjamin Bach, the guy that had offended Abigail Adams so much that she was, say, he had the malice of Satan and was insisting that this wicked, base, violent, and culminating abuse be stopped. They arrested him. What had he done? He had written an editorial in his newspaper saying that President John Adams was old, querulous, bald, blind, crippled, and toothless. He was making fun of Adams. They threw him in jail. He died of yellow fever in 1798. The second guy they arrested was a fellow by the name of Richard Burke. He was also a newspaper editor. He had also written an editorial unfavorable towards Adams. He was deported. He wasn't yet a citizen. He was, as many people weren't, in 1798. 17 other journalists were arrested. 10 were convicted. David Brown of Dedham, Massachusetts, for example. In April of 1799, he put a post up in Dedham, Massachusetts, with a placard that said, quote, "A speedy retirement to the president. No sedition bill, no alien bill, downfall to the tyrants of America," end quote. For this, he was arrested and put in prison. Another guy by John Adams. Another guy, Luther Baldwin of Newark, New Jersey, was sitting in a bar in Newark in 1798, in July, when Congress got let out, and President John Adams and his wife Abigail were driving down the street in their resplendent coach. Church bells were ringing. Ceremonial cannons were firing. This guy thought he was the king, John Adams. And as the procession passed the tavern owned by a man named John Burnett, who was rather liked John Adams, Mr. Luther Baldwin, who was in the tavern and drunk, said, "There goes the president, and they're firing at his arse." Well, the tavern owner, Mr. John Burnett, said, "That's sedition," and turned this guy in to John Adams' wife, Abigail, who's had him arrested. And Baldwin was convicted. Luther Baldwin was convicted and thrown in jail for sedition, for sitting in a bar, and as John Adams drove by saying, and the ceremonial cannons were firing, saying, "They're firing at his arse." The J.A. of then has reincarnated as the J.A. of now. John Adams, John Ashcroft, let's go after anybody who doesn't agree with us. Let's keep very careful track of these people. Is this democracy? Is this dangerous to democracy? I think it is. Thomas Jefferson thought it was. Jefferson and Madison fought very hard to overturn the Sedition Act. When the Sedition Act was brought to John Adams to sign into law, there was the traditional ceremony to sign it into law. Now, at that time, Thomas Jefferson was Vice President of the United States. Jefferson got in his coach and left town. He refused to be in the same city with John Adams the day that John Adams signed that bill. Here's an interesting little irony. The bill was designed to expire. To expire on the day that John Adams left office. I mean, this is how they actually wrote the law, that it would expire on the day he left office. Interestingly, the Patriot Act expires the year that George Bush leaves office. Not all of it, but some of the most odious parts of it. The Alien and Sedition Acts expired on March 3, 1801, the last day of John Adams' official term of presidency. And on it goes. One of the most famous people arrested was the senator from Vermont. The congressman from Vermont, Matthew Lyon. He was a Democratic Republican, now known as the Democrats. And he said that Adams, for signing the Patriot Act, the Alien and Sedition Act, was, quote, engaged in a continual grasp of power and his unbounded thirst for ridiculous pomp, foolish adoration, adulation, and selfish avarice, end quote, meant that he should go to the, quote, madhouse, end quote. For this, the congressman from Vermont was arrested and thrown into prison, where he rotted for 2 years, much of it awaiting trial, until Thomas Jefferson became president and pardoned everybody that John Adams had arrested and repaid them their fines with interest. And the congressman from Vermont had been actually reelected by the state of Vermont to represent them in Congress while he was in jail. One of the reasons why I'm proud to be a citizen of the People's Republic of Vermont and to broadcast this show from there. The Total Information Awareness, Terrorist Information Awareness, Can Democracy Survive in a Big Brother Government? I have some real concerns about it. I encourage you to check out the American Civil Liberties Union, which is the agency, the organization that is doing the most to alert people to this. ACLU.org is their website, and I also encourage you to contact your members of Congress and the Senate and register your concerns about this very, in my opinion, potentially dangerous piece of legislation. Well, it's Thursday afternoon. We have our last segment of the day, a little ditty here. Everything you know.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
As the Fire Sign Theater lets us know, is everything you know wrong? Here, this is published in The Lancet. The Lancet is the premier British medical journal. Sort of like the New England Journal of Medicine in the United States. The Lancet in the UK. By a physician, a scientist, Chandra Wickramasinghe. Wickramasinghe. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And Chandra proposed in this article that was published in The Lancet that he or she, I think it's a he, knew where SARS came from. Now, it's interesting, there have been books written about the anomalies of the Spanish flu of 1918-1919, the great flu epidemic that killed millions around the world. It appeared in different places almost instantaneously, different places around the world, which nobody could figure out. And yet, in local areas, it would move across a town over a period of weeks or a month. So it moved very slowly on the ground, yet it suddenly appeared in a whole bunch of different places. People have been scratching their heads about this for years. A couple of years ago, Chandra Wicca, this scientist, participated in a program where they sent a rocket up into outer space. As I recall, it was 92 miles above the surface. I'm sorry, 26 miles above the surface, and opened a little container and did a big scoop, sterile collecting device, and what they brought back, germs. They brought back microorganisms, and they were actually able to grow two different types. They point out that 100 tons of space debris fall on Earth every day. The Earth gets heavier by 100 tons a day. And some scientists believe as much as one ton of that is bacteria from space. SARS has now killed 770 people. 8,384 have been infected in China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Canada. And in the United States, actually, we have had a number of cases of SARS in the United States. I find it very strange, by the way. You know, the president signed that security directive about SARS, that people with SARS could be imprisoned or quarantined with involuntarily. And right after he signed that, all of a sudden, the media stopped reporting about SARS cases in the United States. And I know that there was a bunch of them. There was like 26 states, as I recall, that had, you know, what's going on with that? Well, anyhow, I'm off on a tangent here. SARS, they say, Chandra, the scientist, says that this virus is unexpectedly novel. It's not, you know, it's a coronavirus, but it's not like any other coronavirus they've ever seen, and suggests that there is an independent evolution of the virus that brought it about. And he's suggesting, I mean, here's the bottom line, he's suggesting that SARS came from outer space. Could it be? Is it true? He says it came from east of the Himalayas, with the stratosphere as the thinnest. There's this one spot there where stuff from outer space can actually make it down to the surface very easily. And that this is where it first came down. He says new epidemics have a record of abrupt entrances from time to time. The patterns of spread of these diseases are difficult to explain simply on the basis of endemic infective agents. And he points out the flu epidemic of 1917. The disease appeared on the same day in widely separated parts of the world on the one hand, but on the other took weeks, days to weeks, to spread relatively short distances. And his suggestion is that life first appeared on Earth some 4 billion years ago from comets and this sort of thing, and life didn't evolve on Earth. Life, that outer space is filled with life, teeming with life, and SARS is among it.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Could it be? Stay with us. I'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Another
audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Radio program. Can democracy survive in a big brother government? I think we need to do something about this. Over 100 communities now have passed resolutions. This, as of 3 days ago, 100th was reached, have passed resolutions saying that they don't want the Patriot Act in their community. This is a movement that is sweeping across America, and in my opinion, a good and healthy one for the future of democracy. Linda in Cupertino had sent an email saying that 850 activists and organizers had participated in the National Conference Against War, Colonial Occupation, and Imperialism, May 17 and 18 in New York City. They came up with a national action plan, and they're planning on demonstrating on July 4th in Philadelphia when George Bush will be there. What do you want to bet? The terror alert will go up that weekend. It does every time major demonstrations are planned. A September 27 International Day of Protest Against War and Occupation is also planned. If you want more information, internationalanswer.org is the website for that. Another person posted an email, somebody from Santa Fe, on our message board saying, I heard a snippet of bumper music today at 9:55 Pacific time that I'd like to identify. Is there a page here somewhere that lists the bumper music? No, there isn't, but that particular piece that ran at that particular moment, if you are listening, was called Late in the Evening by Paul Simon. Another person posted a message, Art Junkie from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, posted a message saying, how many of you have been going to The Daily Show for information? This is Jon Stewart's program on Comedy Central. He says, for me, there is no other TV show in which I can find any sort of liberal or anti-war view, and it bewilders me to think that I have to get my news from a comedy show. Apparently, anti-administration information can only be done in jest. Liberals, open season all the time. I think The Daily Show is great. I watch it every day. They rerun the previous day's show at 7:30. P.M. And that's when I always pick it up a day late because at 11 o'clock I'm asleep. Paul Monroe, not sure where he is, writes in, Mr. Bush will be impeached only if Prime Minister Tony Blair is removed from office. Otherwise, the corporate press will protect the president, responding to our discussion of a couple days ago. Thank you all for all your emails. Thanks for being with us on the Tom Hartman radio program today. Thanks for the callers who joined us. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place. We'll see you here then.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this